Pleasure to have you, and I enjoy having you here this afternoon. I know it takes quite a bit of stamina to stay awake in the afternoon after all the goodies out there and the chocolate and everything. And it just happens that I'm talking on obesity today and how that relates to the podiatric profession. And again, my name is Cal Wusenhoff. I'm faculty at Barry University. I'm director of research. I'm also involved as a practitioner at two clinics of our four clinics. And I also teach. I teach vascular disease and research at Barry University. This is one of my first series of research in which I'm trying to revive pertinent concepts that I see, not only as a practitioner point, but for podiatry as a profession. I did miss my disclosure slide, but I do not have any financial conflicts of interest to disclose at this point. I wish I did, but no, I don't. Definitions are very important. If you do not define the problem, most likely you will miss the solution. So it does start with the definition. And what is overweight and obesity? And especially in the very extremely sensitive culture that we live in, defining somebody as overweight and obese is a challenge in itself. We even have qualified people supposed to address that. Oh yeah, you just go see a nutritionist, and maybe they'll disclose it. And how and when and who that nutritionist will see and what he's going to talk about is kind of in the nebula. It does require a certain amount of stamina to actually face up to that definition and define somebody as overweight and obese and do it in a non-judgmental way. It is what it is, this is what it is, and that's what it drags along. Those are the consequences of overweight and obesity. It is simple, yet not that simple to portray it in our culture, in which there are all kinds of jokes made of weights. Probably that's the most common joke that people talk about. How do we get these patients? And they're not only patients. Probably some of us have issues with weight. Maybe even loved ones, family. They've all suffered consequences of obesity. A lot of it is seen in the foot. Foot is kind of like the mirror image of the human soul, if you would. I do not think it's by chance that foot is the only body part washed by Jesus Christ. He did not wash anything else. Interesting enough. He did not wash his hands like some of the judges. Anything else. He washed the foot. And a lot of these problems, they appear in the foot. And whether we acknowledge to see them or ignore them, it is up to us. But again, going back to the signs of overweight and obesity, there are various ways to define it in numbers. And some of those are in body proportion. And that's probably the most common one is proportions. The easiest one, and that's the one that I've chosen for my study. It does not require any funding. It's very easy to measure if you make the effort. It's very objective, and it's fairly accurate. Another method is body fat percent, body fat percent, and it's fairly accurate one. Again, it does require a lot of equipment. It requires MRI, CT scans, chambers, water, hundreds of thousands of dollars of investment. Is that applicable to my research level at this point? I wouldn't say so. But does that mean that I should not do anything? No, not at all. We just need to have to find the right balance. And again, you can calculate overweight and obesity as adipose tissue dimension. In other words, you could measure it compartmentally. You could go and measure it in the abdomen, the visceral fat, the intestinal fat, the diameter of the intestines. There are many, many ways to define it. For this studies, you would see it's in the proportion, it's the body proportions. And it's, again, it's the easiest one to deal with. Oh, that's another one of my favorite ways to define it. Unfortunately, not very applicable. The six-pack definition is very easy to spot. Living in Miami and being a beach fan, it's a favorite hobby of mine. Actually, that is a, if you would say so, an inborn indicator of your BMI. Turns out that actually to get a six-pack, if you see one, that means that that person probably has a BMI of 21. That's all it means, really. 21 or 20, 21. For the guys, most of it. And again, for women, it's a very sensitive indicator. Unless you drop to 21, you probably will not see any of that, no matter how many crunches you do, what exercises you do. And I actually learned about that from personal experience as well. After many, many years of struggling to develop that, I finally enrolled at the MPH program and I learned what it's all about. And I was amazed to develop those six packs. In fact, I didn't even have to exercise that much. They were all there, just that if you have more than 21 BMI index, what happens is there's a blanket of fat that covers it. Even if you have huge abdominals, you'll never see them. Just that's what it is. So the six-pack definition is there. Unfortunately, not appropriate for studies. Nevertheless, very, very kind of handy. And these are some other ways to measure the three methods, the body proportion, the body fat percentage, adipose tissue dimension. There's so many ways to do it. I mean, there are one, two, three, how many? Like 10 ways to do it. Which means that there is, this area of obesity has been developed quite extensively. And yet in podiatry, in my personal opinion, even in my practice, I rarely address it. And I have become to more and more prone to actually address it recently after personally experiencing the effects of overweight and obesity. How many of you over here know your BMI, for example? Do any of you? Okay, quite a few. All right. And again, but there are a lot of people who do not. In fact, some of the faculty in the school do not apply BMI. Weight is a crucial issue. In fact, I have professors of biomechanics that would talk about biomechanics that the students cannot calculate BMI. And I have a problem with that being in a teaching institution. How do you define obesity? How do you tell somebody? What is it? What is his risk factor? Well, you should be aware of the BMI, and it's not taught. Instead, they try to learn these biomechanical lotions and motions and axes, and they forget about the BMI, pronation and supination, which is fine. Yet, what is the force of biomechanics? What is it? What is the basis? It's the weight. Without the weight, there is no biomechanics. What do we know about the weight? Oh, if nobody can even tell me what's a BMI, what's the use of talking about anything else? And so personally, I've taken up on this role of at least encouraging BMI measurements in the clinics that I work with. And I'm trying to build up this protocol to a point where this is standardized, at least in the places that I work at, that everybody gets their BMI. And it's just like you get your high blood pressure measurements, your vital signs, this becomes the podiatry vital sign. It's the weight. It's crucial. It seems obvious, yet we forget it all the time. It's just not there. What is the most significant organ that gets affected by weight? What is it? It's not your high blood pressure. The most obvious one is the foot. The moment you gain 10 pounds, that doesn't hit you in the heart right away. It hits you right in the foot. That's automatically 10 pounds heavy on your foot. 20 pounds, 50 pounds, 100 pounds. That weight issue is very important. I would like to see comparison studies on how much really weight is created by that additional poundage. We know it creates quite a bit of excessive force on the knees, yet on the foot it's even more than that, because as we know, the lower it gets, the more weight above, it does make sense that the foot is the organ with the highest amount of damage by weight. There is nothing else. Yet I haven't seen a single campaign or anything to that extent that obesity damages the foot in the first place to begin with. Again, gold standards. Are they applicable to podiatry? I wish I could say that, but no, they're far away. Could I use them though? Yes, as a university, I do have access to a lab that actually does that. It's the Sports Medicine School of Leisure Sciences. It's funny how these names, School of Leisure Science, actually they do quite a bit of science. They're actually taking over that whole weight issue and leading it away. And I can see how in the future we kind of join forces with the School of Leisure Sciences and sports performance folks and just do these studies together, because they do have control of these gold standards. Hydrostatic weighing, CT MRI, maybe not, but at least the hydrostatic weighing. So again, BMI, weight circumference, skin folds, which one am I going to use as a podiatric physician? Well, kind of getting them addressed and measuring them, very difficult. Again, pinching their skin folds, time-consuming instruments. But BMI, yes. What does it take to do a BMI? It's a weight scale. It's surprising how difficult it is to measure the weight, even though I'm at a teaching institution. In our four clinics, two of the clinics, the scales were either non-existent or I had to get new scales. And how often they get used? Well, they're not going to die, so just do the vitals. Sometimes we don't even do vitals, and we miss. Why? Because if we did that every single time, you would notice the association between the weight and the blood pressure. It would come up right away. It will be obvious. Why is it not obvious? Because we skip it. We just get right to the duty and trim that nail. And it's kind of putting a patch on a tie where now that the engine's gone, that everything is gone. The whole car is sold out. The guy's dead in 2 weeks, maybe 3 months, and we're patching it. And we're procrastinating and we're sending them. And I've tried to shift responsibility to the primary care physician or nutritionist. And I've sent those patients, yeah, talk to your PCP. And they come back and I tell them, what did they tell? Well, they told me, they gave me some, you know, something, gave me a sheet of brochure, what to do. And that's it. They give them a brochure and they tell them, send them home to get rid of number one healthcare problem. They want to solve it with a piece of paper saying you what to eat. That's how sophisticated it is. That's what it is. And it's not working. And I'll show you some statistics to show that it's a crisis, that obesity is not getting solved. It's not. And I see that we as podiatrists are at the forefront at this. We just have to acknowledge it. And just measure that BMI. You have to document it and see the association and take the lead and lead away and do it right. It's just a burden that we have to accept. And I've accepted it. Why? Because I personally had a problem with the overweight. I was 60 pounds. I lost 60 pounds. That's 60 pounds. I was getting to the, why did I lose it? Not really to look that much better. I thought I looked pretty good. But I was actually having problems. I was getting problems with sleeping. I couldn't sleep. I was getting insomnia. I noticed that my throat was choking me at night. I was probably getting some sleep apnea as well. And again, on top of that, I had a little bit of palpitation, excessive sweating. And then my mom came to see me from Bulgaria. And after I haven't seen her for a while, I just, in her image, I saw myself and I saw what years and years of eating uncontrolled does to you. And I clean up, and it's not easy. And it's not easy. Why? Because there's no pill. Unlike medicine nowadays, and again, in the morning, we talked a lot about diseases of insufficiency. You lack something. You lack medical care. You lack nutrients. There's too many parasites. You need something to clean it up. And that's on the outside. That's in the engineered countries. And yes, there we do need to bring something, to supply something, and that helps. But here, to restore the balance, we need to teach people how to take away. Not actually give them stuff, take stuff away. How to learn how not to eat at that time, or how to eat another time. How to look upon themselves in their social performance, in the duties they do. how when next month is in December, not to get crazy on all these holidays and eat all the stuff that they will and gain the other 20 pounds. That's going to kill them 2 years fast and they won't live long enough to see their grandchildren. How do you get hang of that? And it's not easy, but it's doable. There are programs for that. It doesn't necessarily involve medications, which is good. I see as a podiatry is good. Why? Because it isn't, in a way, it is a counseling. It isn't a counseling treatment. And I think that it should be more extensively covered in podiatry. With podiatrists, we have, we could have quite a bit more impact. Although some other professions like nutritionists, on the other side, could argue that they would do the nicer job. But again, it's a healthy competition. It's for the good of the patients. Again, some more slides for those who do not believe that obesity is really getting out of hand. This excessive habit of gaining weight. And again, this is all one, same company, same database, 5 years down the road. And you see what happens. It's all the way up, And this is got somewhat old data, all five. Things are getting really excessively overweight and uncontrolled. And at this point, you might say, well, what's happening? Are we solving? We have new surgical procedures, gastric bypass. Well, is that a realistic option, doing gastric bypass on 20, 30 million people? How are you going to handle that? Is that really realistic? No. And then you start to realize that there is something happening that's called prevention and control, and it's part of public health. And they've been doing it for quite a while, and that's where I opened my eyes, and it's really, we got to prevent and control it. And we're at the forefront of it. We should make awareness of it and put it on our agenda and literally hammer it out that in this epidemic of obesity, together with nutritionists and PCP, one of the best people to do that job are us as podiatrists. Because we say it, we detect it, and so are right there. And it makes sense from science point, social point, any vantage and perspective, you can look at it. Here is another slide that shows that the obesity is increasing, and that's done by BMI. Again, remember I told you about different indicators. Now, you will hear all kinds of bad stuff talked about the BMI in terms of how accurate and this and that, but I can tell you that unless you're into competitive bodybuilding using steroids, BMI is fairly accurate. BMI is an honest, fair way of judging their status. It's been in existence for over 150 years, so it's well developed, fairly inexpensive. There's another study, which is somewhat sad. Why? Because we don't tend to think of young people as being obese. I mean, they're just growing, right? But actually, there's such a thing as an adolescence obesity. Children, they start to form these plaques, and they older, the thoracic blood vessels at a very early age. It's only in the 30s and the 40s that you get it in the heart and the brain, and then it hits you, oh my God. But you've had, meanwhile, accumulated quite a bit of junk when your grandmother gave you all those cookies that you ate with no bad intentions. She wanted to make you happy. And yes, indeed, if you see all our social habits, whether we're in grief or in joy and suffering, whether you're falling in love or somebody died, they all involve what? Eating and comfort. And it's a deeply ingrained cultural phenomenon. That's why we can't cure it. And somebody has to spend time with the patient. And you know what? One of the few compliments, but very strong compliments that I hear about podiatrists is that nobody else in the entire medical profession ever spends that much time and attention as a podiatrist. He's the one that really gets to know them. He gets to see them and pays attention to them. And this is a natural strong point for us to address obesity. Again, is evolution and prosperity. What is prosperity about, really? Where do we stop? How much of a comfort is a comfort, really? Is that the point of life, just accumulation? And what point we say it's excessive? How can we pull some of ourselves out of this? Is there such a thing as an addiction to food, that maybe nobody's acknowledging. I mean, so far we've gotten rid of acknowledging what? Smoking. Maybe in another 50 years we'll acknowledge what? Drinking. Right? But everybody drinks, although there are probably over 1,000 different substances in alcohol and wine. Nobody even knows it. You buy the bottle from France and you have no idea what's in there. And there are over 1,000 biologically active substances in that wine, including carcinogens. In another 50 years, they'll talk about it. Right now, oh, we know it's not good for you, probably. Why? Because after obesity, car accidents is probably just as high and deadly as everything else. And if that's not enough, God forbid you're pregnant and drink, there's the fetal alcohol syndrome, which is pretty much devastating. But again, how long is it going to get to for us as a society to give up that smoking and drinking? Probably another 50 years. A lot of people are going to die. That's the way it's going to be. Now, we're not even talking about eating at this point. Probably in about 3 generations, maybe more, probably another 100 years, they'll say, well, there is such a thing as a food addiction. There is such a thing as a chocolate addiction, as a cookie addiction. Who's going to be alive? Who knows? But can you make a difference? Yes. Why? Because you want to save somebody that matters to you. Your patients, maybe yourself, maybe your grandchildren, maybe your sister or somebody else who is getting left and divorced because they had obesity problems, they grew up, they changed their image and perception. Again, weight is all that. It's a complicated phenomenon. It's not just losing the weight. You do change when you lose that weight. You become a different person. Again, all the diseases, they closely correlate. And again, we don't say exactly cause, and I'll address that, but they correlate with the BMI. So the larger your BMI, the higher chance of cardiovascular disease, diabetes mellitus, and gallbladder. So, and we all know, or at least those of us who do read in public health, what's the number one killer in the United States? It's cardiovascular disease. It's cardiovascular disease, and there is obesity. And who is at the top of this? Who is the most efficient profession to implement prevention and control and save the government money in the long run, covering everybody from liabilities and damage? It's us. We see those folks all the time. That heel pain, that forefoot pain, what is that? That's excessive force. The body was not meant to be. Now we could accommodate it, we could pad it, but what's at the core of it? It's that weight. Pathogenesis of disease. Well, we do need to define it these days in scientific terminology, and sometimes that tends to confuse us more than actually clarifies our mind. But you look at that picture, what could be wrong with it? What's wrong? Well, I could probably just name 20 things just right looking at that poor folk chair and everything else. Right? Yeah, it's fairly easy. Yeah, I think we failed to define it in terms of affecting podiatry and the foot, because really that weight, can you see the heart? No, really. Can I see? But can I picture that poor foot? Yes. Yes, I can picture that. That weight, the moment that person stands up, that load doesn't go, maybe it goes to the heart, maybe the brain, but it goes immediately, and I can guarantee that goes to the foot, every step she takes. Yet, we somehow kind of close our eyes. We don't relate the two. And it should be fairly natural for us to do that. This slide, I put it here so that we can define the morbidity of obesity in terms of layman's terminology. This is what it looks like. You have, which is what is it? You get really sick. Everything you think of is affected with obesity. You tell me one thing that's not gallbladder, kidneys, liver, brain. I mean, the whole human body is affected by obesity. There is no single disease that's not affected by obesity. There is none. So, in prevention and control of obesity, we stop all the other diseases. And in the climate of controlling spending on healthcare, this could be a key issue. This could be the key issue that will save us, that will promote us as a profession and save lives as well. And it's fairly natural, and it's not going to take more effort than we already do anyway. Let's look at this slide, and again, notice, what's missing? what is it? It's not nothing even written about the feet. Yet, what's carrying all this stuff? It's not the hands. It's not the hip. It's not the knee for the orthopedic surgeon. It's this thing. And what is it written about there? Well, I don't see anything. Oh, maybe this is one slide. Let's go next one. That's it. Maybe next one. Oh, this is a little bit more medical, right? We replace all the layman terminology with fancy, you know, Latin terminology. Now we have fatty liver. Instead of that, instead of liver problems, we talk about steatosis, steohepatitis, cirrhosis. We're talking Latin. All right, but it's the same thing as the previous slide. Okay, but just this time it's translated in Latin. And again, what do we get on the foot? That again, it's fairly obvious that all this weight immediately have an impact on what? On the foot. And yet all we get is gout, which is not even a biomechanical problem. It's a metabolism problem. Why have we missed the opportunity to look at that? And so that's what really stimulated me to continue and pound that area of research and bring whatever I can. That overweight problem, is it solvable by spending? And it's not solvable by spending. This is the United States is spending the most on healthcare than any other country in the world. And does that solve our health problems? No. And what's our health problem related to? Obesity. So in a way you could look at that as, is that spending money on drugs, is that going to help with obesity alone? And not really. Our expectancy is less. Less than Japan. And again, less than Canada. And again, we're spending more money than all these other countries. Greece, Belgium, Austria. We're not that far away from Portugal, Korea. Korea. This is what it looks like. So again, it's a complicated problem. It's a problem you can't solve with medications, which is great. Because how can you solve it? Well, for those of you who have lost some weight, who have been in that, you understand the complex socioeconomic factors involved. And there's somewhat of a counseling involved. There's compassion that's involved. And we're in a perfect position to bring that to our relationship with the patients. Well, there wasn't science before. Before that, there was indoctrination. And one of the ways that institutions tried to do prevention and control was by giving the maxims, do not eat, or define things in terms of sin. And again, if you've got to eat. To gain that weight, you have to eat. And one of the deadly sins all defined before from the church was eating. And the name of the sin was what? Gluttony, right? Gluttony. And so that's the way they try to do it. Did they do a good job? Well, you could argue either way, but this is the art that's left from the Dark Ages. maybe they did some good, but they did a lot of bad stuff. And so now it's just a symbol. You can't just say, look, are you doing just gluttony? That's not going to fly. It's just not. Symbology is mixed up with all kinds of things. And again, we're getting to the art of communicating without inflicting guilt, instead creating compassion and respect with the patient. And so what I did was the best I could do in my surroundings to find out about obesity and how common it is and what it does to us. And so I did somewhat of a retrospective review of medical records, podiatry patients at two of the clinics. Now again, this study is still running on and it's going on and on, and I'm adding more and more patients and more data. And in fact, I will ask for some of the faculty to get involved and get them on board. So hopefully I will get the next seven faculty members to contribute to these numbers and build a quite a bit impressive 1,000 patients database of what the true incidence of obesity is. How many of our patients are obese in podiatry? Why? Because if you see, if 90% of your patients are obese, we become a crucial focal point for meeting obesity. We are the true front of obesity. We could make a tremendous impact. Is that the case? So I did review of charts. My parameters were age, gender, race, BMI, the podiatry diagnosis, and the comorbidity diagnosis. And again, coming from, you could pretty much guess that even without looking at my study, what the answers would be. Knowing, for example, that I'm in Miami, so what would be my age, you would guess? Would they be youngsters, less than 50 or greater than 50? Well, you could argue each way, but the middle is what, 50? So is it 50? Yeah, it is 50. You'll find out, yes, the age is 50 for my patients in Miami. What's the gender? Well, you can't say either which way, but you'd say, you know, 50%. Is it distributed equally? Yes, it is. It's 50. It's 50. Right now, it's still 50. What's the race in Miami? Well, next to the Latin countries, you'd guess Hispanics are number one. And yes, indeed, they are. Podiatry diagnosis. What's the most common one? Meredith just said before me that it is indeed heel pain. And yes, it is. We do need to keep in mind that there are only so much pain in the foot that we can specialize in terminology, right? It's here the forefoot pain, which is called what? Metatarsalgia. There's the rear foot pain, which we call heel pain, and then there's the arch pain. But in fact, when we have pain in the arch, what do we call that? Still, we call it plantar fasciitis. So midfoot arch pain and heel pain, they get together. So of course, you will get more numbers as a rear foot or heel pain. But again, it's pain, and there are no fractures as we know. It's inflammation in the foot. That's the most common symptom we see, inflammation. There is no fracture, there is no cancer. It's inflamed. And so on, it behooves somebody to say, well, why is the foot inflamed? What could be the common factor? And what if it turns out that all of those folks, 90% of them are obese? Wouldn't that make it important? And so that was my question. What percentage of those folks would be really obese? Because indeed, if those people who get inflamed foot are 90% obese, I think obesity is the true cause of inflammation. Yeah, you can explain it in terms of biochemistry. You can say, well, we have some kind of prostaglandins or something like that, and that's why your foot is inflamed. But what is the true cause, and how do you define the true cause? So again, here's the age, and indeed, we're smack in the middle, 50 for the average podiatry patient that I see in my clinics in Miami. It happened that the female patients were slightly less, but how statistically significant that is, I can't tell at this point, because my numbers are not sufficient to render them statistically significant. And again, as you would expect in my population in Miami, 80% is Hispanics. I have 10% blacks and 10% white. And what's happening with the BMI and indeed obesity? And you would see that putting all these together, less than a quarter of my patients have normal BMI. Less than a quarter. So that makes about 80% or higher of my patients have abnormal BMI. Whether it's overweight, whether they're obese, or they're morbidly obese, that's another story. But I can tell you that 8 out of 10 patients that I see, they have problems with the weight. And yet I failed those patients. I failed to disclose the true nature of their condition. How many times I say, look, yes, you have a heel pain and you're overweight or you're obese. Well, I'll tell them, look, you're morbidly obese. Do you know what that means? We don't know. We just tell them, look, oh, you've got pain in the heel, you have an inflammation, you have plantar fasciitis, it's a ligament that gets here and there and it's inflamed. Have I disclosed to them the true cause? Is that why they came to me? Maybe it is. In a certain sense, it is. But then again, in certain events, it's what in legal terms, which I learned taking public health, is known as the proximity of cause. What caused the event? There's this theory that everything in the world is connected. For example, known as the butterfly effect, right? The butterfly effect. Thousands of butterflies moving their wings over the world could create a tsunami eventually. Yes, is it possible? Yeah. Does it happen? No. But theoretically, everything is related. The fact that you just listen to my lecture is going to make tremendous change in your life. But yet, can you hold me accountable if because of that change you miss your plane, you get the next plane, and then you crash down and you're dead? I mean, yeah. I mean, yes, I'm guilty of that. But you see the point with at what point you say something is the cause of something. And in my view, it's the point that you can change. You can make a decision about it. That's the point of causality. And can they make a change in the weight? Yes, they can. But they have to be aware of that choice. And again, these are the most common diagnoses that I found out. Plantar fasciitis, metatarsalgia. And again, plantar fasciitis is tricky. Why? Because it does indeed sometimes involve only the heel, which would be heel pain, and the other part would be just purely the ligament, which would be kind of a mid-arch pain. And if you think about it, what else is left? I mean, it's one-third, one-third, one-third. It's forefoot, metatarsalgia, plantar fasciitis, and heel. There's nothing more. That's the two bones. And what's the common thing? Well, let's see if we indeed have a high percentage of obesity. Could it be that obesity is causing plantar fasciitis? Could it be? Well, indeed, if you look with these patients, you would see that there's also a high chance of hypertension, diabetes mellitus, and hypercholesterolemia. Again, these are the number one killers in the United States, responsible for cardiovascular disease. And what these white triangles in the back represent, that from the patients who had hypertension, 100% of them had abnormal BMI. In other words, I'm pretty sure that the moment my patient comes in, if I measure his BMI and he's off scale, I know pretty much 100% he's got high blood pressure. Is that significant? Yes, I think it's significant. Taking just the BMI tells me that they've got hypertension. How many of the patients with diabetes mellitus had abnormal BMI? All of them, 100% of what I got. Once you get diabetes mellitus, you get abnormal BMI. Now, it may not be morbidly obese, but it's abnormal. It's a very high risk. These are number one killers in the country. And are we doing any prevention and control? Public health. And again, I have to acknowledge it to extent. I'm guilty of that as well as anybody else. I failed those folks. I rushed them. I solved their problem for the day, which would be that callus, that dry skin that's really cracking and falling away. Yet they're 100 pounds over. And again, even my friend the other day that I'm staying here at San Diego, he said he lost 120 pounds. I'm like, geez, you lost 120 pounds. And yet they say that men don't get pregnant, right? You put, how much does a baby weigh? What, 5-8 pounds? So 120 pounds, that is given, is delivered 10 babies. And he's carried them for years. It's the same amount, it's the weight he got rid of. Now, did he do in a healthy way? Well, I didn't ask him that much. But at least he cleaned up for a while. He managed to do it, just like I did in a way. I've been cleaned up of those 60 pounds for about 7 months. and I stay that way. This is another slide that shows how diabetes, hypertension, and hypercholesterolemia relate to BMI. And as the BMI goes up, all of them go up. And again, it's pretty much self-explanatory and what we would expect. Nothing earth-shattering. The only thing earth-shattering is, how could I have had my eyes closed up for so long and ignore this problem? How could have I? And again, when I went back to my country, I saw my sister. My sister was way out. She wasn't the mermaid that I knew her 16 years ago, and I haven't been back in my country for a long time. She was a totally different person. I met her. She already had her gallbladder removed. Everything, you start to break down part by part. That weight will bring you down. Top 10 causes of mortality in the United States. And each one of them is related to obesity. Each one of those top 10. Millions of people. And I will tell you what, some of the most, they're single experiences, but since I've lost my weight, just by sheer example, my patients see me and say, Doc, what did you do? And I tell them how I did it. And I'll just tell them, look, this is what worked for me. And some of them, I don't even tell them anything. They just look at me. It's funny, you know. Some people are competitive. They say, "Oh, if this guy do it, I can do it too." They just see you, and you set up an example. And I've had not that many. I had two patients that they've lost weight, and they've given up their NADDM medication. They've given it up. They're not suffering from it anymore. I've had other people in my MPH classmates who've gotten rid of it. I've talked with them. We sustain each other. It's kind of a network. You could call it weight anonymous or something like that, but it does take social support, but they've cleaned up from all that junk. And it feels good. Why? Because you, in a way, you're thinking, well, you know, I've just saved this guy from number 10 causes that could kill him. How much is that worth? Well, I don't know, but those of you who've lived long enough, you probably have grandparents who didn't live a year or two so they can see your children or the grandchildren. So how much is a year worth or two? Eventually you all die, so how much is it worth? Well, I don't know, but there are people that existentialists, they are all they're interested in is living long. That's how they measure success. And how long can I live? Can I make it to 100? And that's what's good. Well, there it is, obesity. Funny enough, I'm guilty of this too. I've never used an ICD-9 obesity code in my diagnosis. Yes, that's what's causing the inflammation. That's what's putting it down. I've never billed a podiatrist. I'm not aware of any podiatrist who's ever billed for obesity. I mean, I don't know. Is it logical that weight will influence the foot? Yes. Do I need to convince? I think it's a winning argument. I can't see how somebody can argue and tell me that the weight is not an issue causing that problem. So should I be able to put it on my sheet in practicality? Yes, I should. And again, I myself, I don't know much about billing. I work for Barry. Obviously, they bill for me. But some of you might be in billing. You might actually know whether this code is going to go through or not. And again, this simple code could be an issue to bring up to the forefront of podiatry as well. Hey, Alan. So moving along, again, morbid obesity, there's even a separate cause for it. I've never used it, yet I've had those patients. I've had them. I've recommended they do go see a nutritionist or somebody else to that extent. And again, never used it, never documented. It's not in the system. We do not exist in the system as a specialty that addresses obesity. Yet, this is the root cause of the problems. We're ignoring the true cause of the problem. So how can you find a solution for something if you don't know what's causing it? Well, you can go around and kind of patch it and make it good for a few days, and then hopefully they'll come back. And we do make a living out of it. But in the end, there's this empty feeling that we haven't made that much change. And I tell you, get one of those guys to clean up, you get this feeling, you get this smile. Hey, I don't know what I did in my lab, but I cleaned that guy, and he's good, and he's fine. And it makes you happy. So again, we're going back to what do we do? And I've called this integration of the diagnosis. And luckily in podiatry, at least in my level and in my place right now, I do have the time to talk with the patients about all the true causes of what's wrong with me, doc, and why do I have the pain. It's really that the pain is isolated, and especially when it comes to obesity. You can't solve it on just the level of the body. The disease is everywhere. It involves the mind. It does involve the heart and the spirit. And again, you can define that with other, more kind of a Latin terminology. But it is physical. It is emotional. It is a mentality, and it is spiritual. Failure to address any of those components will bring you down. You will go back in that vicious cycle. And again, if you compare that to any other addiction, it's not any different, really. The end result is you have to ingest that food, and one way or another, it's an addiction. And there are already well-developed protocols for addiction. So what I'm doing is just seeing it for what it is. Again, am I going to get a nice sponsor from the food industry with this study? I don't know about that. Who's going to sponsor my study? I don't know about that. But, you know, who may not want to sponsor that study, I could see a lot of foreign sources for that. But again, it's what is the health and what is it worth for you and what is it worth for the one you love, that obesity? How do you solve that problem? I mean, just look around. How many of you have friends that are obese? I've got friends. I've got every. How many of you have family members that are obese, that their lives are ruined, their self-perception is ruined? I've got those, and I want to make a change. And again, when you think of cause, think about what's the true cause. Is it really just because they stand up once, they ran that marathon? Is that really the cause? I mean, really, you have to go honestly at least once. And again, I don't harp on this on all my patients. I tell them, look, I look them straight in the face, and I tell them what they're facing once in the first visit or second. And then I kind of avoid giving them on every minute, kind of slapping them in the face, saying, you got this and that. No, they know it. And sometimes the important things are the things that are not said. The things not said. They know, and I know. There's no need for any more. Just like with obesity. The important thing is not what you eat, but what you don't eat. Unfortunately, that doesn't cost anything. You don't have to give. There's no pill to give. There's no fancy gimmick to give. How to teach that person to give out and to give. And again, we have some of the other lecturers who told us, you know, one of the greatest joy in life is really giving. You got to learn how to give and pass it away and get rid of it. Pass it on. And it's very complicated. That's why we're failing. And number one cause, excess, obesity. We're failing miserably. We're dying of all these 10 curses because of that obesity. And again, thank you for your attention. And again, this is me with my favorite movie because I've been there. And we all know somebody who's been there, somebody we love and cherish, and we respect a lot. Thank you again for your attention. Any questions? I do like to acknowledge my mentors, and Dr. Alan Whiteman, and again, Tim, some of my MPH directors who did a wonderful job of giving me the opportunity to pursue that MPH and really open up my eyes beyond definition and about truth and what we do. This is just what happened with me. So, again, appreciate your patience. Again, any questions? Thank you very much.